Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Issue 37. Ben Flanagan of Aspect Radio. Ben Stark of Wonder Mill Films.
Ben, how are you?
I'm well, Ben. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. So, news broke today that, well, for a while there, it had been rumored that as part of the kind of resurgence of Star Wars, that Lucasfilm was going to make several character prequels, including Boba Fett and Yoda, and maybe a young Han Solo. And then today the news broke that, indeed, we're going to get a Han Solo prequel directed by Phil Lord and Chris Miller of Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs and 21 Jump Street and the Lego Movie. And I was a little bit surprised when I heard the news, and then I went online and looked at all the different articles kind of linking to it, announcing it. For example, on Birth Movies Death, Devin Faraci talked about it. I think Slash Film may have talked about it. And a few of these other sites talked about it, and they're all overwhelmingly positive about this news, about Phil Lord and Chris Miller making a Han Solo prequel. And this is confusing to me because these are the same groups of people, you know, or the traditional kind of online movie nerds, and not just the, you know, not just Devin Faraci, but also, you know, the whole community that you, that kind of surrounds that and that we all follow that, you know, we probably wish we were a bigger part of, if we're honest with ourselves. That whole crowd did not like the prequels, the Star Wars prequels. That whole crowd, in general, doesn't like prequels and bemoans the idea of, you know, non-original programming, you know, sequels and things like that, prequels. But despite all that negativity in that direction, this has been very well received. And it's very confusing because to me, you know, disregarding the talent of Phil Lord and Chris Miller, to me, what I see in this news is, yes, indeed, they're going to recast Han Solo. Like, one of the greatest, you know, icons in genre movie history, maybe in movie history, they're going to recast him. It's going to be a different actor playing him. And that's a big deal. Is that not a big deal?
Yeah, it's a huge deal because, I mean, when you, unfortunately, that unfortunate day in the future when we write Harrison Ford's obituary, Han Solo is going to be in the first line, right? So it's just one of those roles that is timeless and is synonymous with cool and is such a major part of one of the greatest film franchises ever. And, yeah, the thought of recasting Han Solo seems like a total nightmare to me because Harrison Ford is a once-in-a-generation talent, and we found that out because of Han Solo. And so you were giving yourself the impossible task of finding somebody who is half as charismatic and able as Harrison Ford was back in the late 1970s. So, you know, on the surface, it sounds awful. And, you know, just that task in general. But let me backtrack just a little bit because let's talk about just on paper and at face value what I think people are excited about is Chris Miller and Phil Lord are really talented guys who've done a lot of great work. So as soon as we hear they're involved with a beloved franchise that was in peril until seemingly recently, that's good news. You know, on the surface, that's good news that we're getting talented people involved with Star Wars again. Then you hear another key word like Han Solo, and that's one of the greatest characters in movie history, and you've got these talented guys working on this great property and with this incredible character. So it sounds great. So I think it's just kind of a knee-jerk thing to be like, oh, wow, okay, well, that's a lot of great moving parts. That sounds awesome. And then, yeah, you try to add a little context to it, and the first thing you think of is, well, who's going to play Han Solo? Because Harrison Ford played Han Solo, and it seems like a ridiculous thing to do to try and sort of rebottle that magic, because you can't, really. And so I'm going to go ahead and you know, say the odds are slim that we're going to find another Harrison Ford, right? And I know that they're probably going to get out in front of it and say, we're not looking for the next Harrison Ford, okay? In fact, this is going to be a totally different character, or we're going in a totally different direction. We would never do that and dishonor the legacy of Harrison Ford and Han Solo. But it's like, well, you've painted yourself into a corner now, because
yeah.
Han Solo is a character that whose shoes you now have to fill, and they have to act like Harrison Ford acted in the later movies, because
yeah.
that is the character that he and George Lucas fleshed out. Now,
well,
the other thing, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to add that also, whoever plays Harrison plays Han Solo, they're not playing a, you know, a de-aged version of the current Harrison Ford. They're playing, you know, 10 years younger, maybe. God, I hope not more than the Harrison Ford that we saw in Star Wars and in Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. Like, that was a young man. He was a very young man. So, yeah, no, they're going to have, this is the same universe. This isn't a reboot of Indiana Jones, you know, where you can go a different direction because the continuity has changed. This has to sit in line with that original trilogy, with that Harrison Ford performance. So, no, there's going to have to be a level of impersonation there.
Well, wait, how old is Jake Lloyd?
I don't know. I'd have to check his police record.
Oh, true. It's public record, so it wouldn't be that hard to find. So, going back to your first point about all these folks who are negative on, or trending negative, or have been for a long time on the idea of Star Wars prequels, right? We hated those. Most people hated the Star Wars prequels, and yeah, prequels in general. But there are people out there who are able to sort of find the lightning and put it back into the bottle, and those are people like Matt Reeves with Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, a movie we love. Some people seem to think that Colin Trevorrow is one of those guys with the Jurassic Park property. We are not in that camp. But we, I think, agree that Phil Lord and Chris Miller are capable individuals when it comes to delivering on existing properties in really fresh and exciting ways. They've done it three times now, and really four times with the second 21 Jump Street movie. And so it's natural to think that this is in their wheelhouse, and they are capable of delivering on yet another franchise. Now, what you and I talked about before we started recording this was, yes, they were able to do that, but all three of those properties that they were a part of seem to all fit their sensibilities and what has now become their signature tone. And what we know about Star Wars, what we know about Han Solo, maybe more specifically, is that when on paper, going back to that term, it doesn't really match up. And those guys, as talented as they are and as great as Star Wars is, the question we now, as big fans of all of it, have to be asking ourselves is this a good fit? Are we sure that these are the right guys? Now, we haven't seen the script that Lawrence Kasdan and his son are writing or have written. I'm not sure where they are in that process, and maybe it will fit their sensibilities, but if Star Wars, if this Han Solo standalone movie looks, or not looks, but sounds anything like tonally what Miller and Lord have done already, I think that they will have made a mistake.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, look, they're tremendously talented guys, and it's hard to say. They have made only, you know, adaptations of pre-existing properties, but I would say that they have, you know, made those as original films, as original as they could be, and they took these pre-existing properties that nobody had any expectation for or interest in, even. So that's different. You know, Star Wars is the number one movie brand ever. So, you know, there is an existing tone, an existing market knowledge, or whatever you want to call it, for this. So they're not starting from scratch. Now, it does sound
like, but don't you think? But don't you think that the slate has ostensibly been wiped clean after the sort of backlash of the prequels, and now what J.J. Abrams has done, he's reinforced the tone from the original trilogy, and he has sort of brought that vibe and that excitement back. But we don't know what exactly they're going for with these standalone movies, to be fair. I mean, we've seen a shaky cam bootleg version of the Rogue One trailer, right? But we really don't have a good grasp on what it is they're trying to do, what audience they're trying to reach, if it's just the Star Wars audience. Anybody who likes J.J. Abrams' Star Wars or the first three Star Wars is going to like a standalone movie. But I just, to me, it just gets dicey in that you're getting guys who have a special gift when it comes to comedy storytelling, right? These guys who have made four movies that are laugh-a-minute comedies, and applying those gifts, as talented visually as they are in storytelling, and applying it to this self-serious Star Wars franchise. And to me, just, again, on paper, it doesn't make a ton of sense, even though I like these guys a lot.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that the thing that makes them great directors, I said great directors because I do think that, I think that they're the best comedy directors working today, aside from maybe Edgar Wright and Coen brothers. But what makes them that is their ability to stand outside of text and, you know, use metatextual tricks and things like that to comment on what's going on, in almost a, you know, a Zucker brothers kind of way. And so their aesthetic is so dependent on that, that I have a hard time seeing them going over to making a different tone. You know, Star Wars does not reference itself. It's not Brechtian at all. I think this, I mean, and I don't think that's what they're going to be doing either. I mean, it sounds like they've got a script from Kasdan, you know, and he knows what he's doing when he's playing in this sandbox. So I don't doubt that they're talented and that they're going to pull off a great thing. I'm not going to get excited about them directing a Star Wars movie because I want to see one of their movies, and this isn't going to be that. This is going to be them taking a job that nobody would ever turn down. You know, this is them being offered a Star Wars movie. They're not going to make it a Phil Lord and Chris Miller movie, but that's what I want. It seems very similar to me to the Edgar Wright Ant-Man Marvel situation, where eventually Edgar Wright is, I mean, I think he's a very similar director to Lord and Miller. And he makes Edgar Wright movies, and you can't impose a tone or this overarching universe rule to the way that Edgar Wright makes a movie. And that's okay. And it's okay if a director doesn't do that, you know. But it seems to me that they are those kind of filmmakers, and if they can turn that off and be different filmmakers for this project, I think they could still make a fantastic movie. I'd rather not see that. I would rather them get $50 million and make what's been bouncing around in their head for 20 years, you know, rather than a Star Wars movie. And who knows, you know, after this, you know, they'll probably be able to. So I'm not negative about them. I think that they'll do a good job. I don't think that their tone is really going to harm the project or anything like that. It's a weird choice, but it's not a weird choice for them to accept. But really, at the end of the day, they're recasting Han Solo for a Han Solo prequel.
Yeah.
Like, why? How can anybody get excited about that? We have three films with this enigmatic, exciting character that everybody loves. We're getting them again in kind of, you know, maybe final few films or final one film. I don't know anything about that. But why can't we leave it at that? Why can't we look at the huge Star Wars universe through the eyes of one of the other billions of characters? Why do we have to take this character and there's nothing that you're going to do with this character that's going to teach us anything? You know, we're not going to get anything new. We're going to see new corners of the universe, probably. And we'll see when he picks up Chewbacca and all that kind of stuff. But did we, I mean, we saw Luke and, I mean, we saw Anakin and Obi-Wan fighting on a volcano planet, and everybody pooped their pants about how terrible it was. And after wanting it for so many years, this is the exact same thing, you know? And I just, this is not going to end well. And I feel like some sort of madman for saying that, but I just look at the writing on the wall. This has never worked out.
Yeah, the self-referential stuff is what I'm worried about, and I think that their voice will be heard with this movie because it's been so prevalent in everything they've done so far. Even though it is as big and important as a franchise as it is, I mean, you don't hire guys like J.J. Abrams and Rian Johnson and these guys if you don't want their voice to be heard and you don't want their very specific touch.
So,
I think we're going to get it with each of those guys. So what
you're saying you were going to get is a sarcastic, funny, cocky space cowboy directed by an idiosyncratic director with a lot of, you know, metatextual references. Like Disney doesn't already have that?
I think there's probably going to be a line where he's like, I always shoot first.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's just like, no, we don't need that. No.
Well,
please,
we don't need
no.
that because we have that. Disney has that. They have Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
That's what Star-Lord can do. There's no reason.
Right.
This seems like, at the very best, it's going to be a remake of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, which is scary. And, you know, people keep, everybody throws Chris Pratt's name out for everything, right?
Jesus.
And so,
yeah.
Naturally, as soon as this was announced, everybody's like, Chris Pratt! And it's like, well, yeah, okay. Like, I get it. You know, Chris Pratt's great. And if we could cast him in everything, we would. But, you know, first of all, you know, Star-Lord kind of is just Diet Han Solo, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's doing his thing, and he's doing a great job. And, we're all looking forward to more Guardians of the Galaxy movies. And I'm sure he'll turn up in whatever Indiana Jones movie is made or whatever. You know, he's going to be the guy. So, but, you know, and with all due respect to the Miles Tellers and you know, Jai Courtneys of the world, do your thing, but when I hear your name tossed out as, you know, a potential Han Solo, I start banging my head into the wall until I can't see anymore. You know?
Logan Lerman!
Oh, my God. But see,
Jai
again,
Courtney.
It's a thing where it's like, no offense to these guys. It's really more of the principle of, let's go back to it, say it again, recasting Han Solo. And when you even just start from square one and trying to do that, it just hurts your head.
And again, recasting Han Solo in the same continuity as Harrison Ford's Han Solo. If this was a clean, you know, break, if it was a Star Trek 2009 situation, or even what they're suggesting with Indiana Jones with the total recasting, or a Batman thing, you know, that's a completely different story. But no, this is going to have to be baby Harrison Ford. And we weren't too far off of baby Harrison Ford when we saw the original movies. So, look, great prequels. Name them. Godfather Part II. Monsters University I like a lot. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, if you want to argue that. What else? Nothing. Because, especially in this case, in a completely clean... Again, with Batman Begins or with Rise of the Planet of the Apes or with Casino Royale, those were clean breaks. Those are not prequels. Those are reboots. But it's never worked with kind of an in-continuity reboot with recasting such I'm choking on my own rage here. It's an icon of movies. It's just such a bad idea.
Yeah, and, you know, I think generally about the Star Wars standalone movies, I have a major hesitation as a fan for getting too excited about it. And I was before this. Like, I don't have problems with it. I think it's impossible to really have problems with the specific product that Disney and Lucasfilm are going to deliver with something like Rogue One, right? Because we really don't know much other than a premise and some people who are in it. And, I mean, there are some really talented people on board, right? But I just don't know that I need to see that story as a Star Wars fan. You know, like, I, I don't need to see Han Solo's teenage year. Like, the Boba Fett thing is a little different, I think, because that's just that honestly could just go on existing as it does, and I'd be perfectly fine with it, you know? I mean, I think when we all saw Boba Fett first appear, we thought, oh my God, this is a badass character. I'd love to spend more time with him. I'd love to see a Boba Fett movie, right? But there wasn't one, and somehow we survived, you know? And we lived with the myth and legend of Boba Fett, and everything was fine. But, you know, him I'm okay with, I can live with, but the Han Solo thing, the Rogue One thing, I don't know. Like, it's a lot, like you said, it's a lot at once right now. It's a little out of control. Really, what I want to do, I just want to see The Force Awakens this year. That's what I'm excited about, and I will be patient, and I will let these things sort of, you know, play out organically as best as I can without whining about every little detail and being an impatient, ungrateful movie lover, and just enjoy this first Star Wars movie in however many years and what looks to be something that is done the right way, and then we'll move on to the other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Rogue One idea. And that's the kind of thing that I love. I like taking, you know, a scene from one of the original movies and then exploring that through the eyes of completely new characters. I mean, there, it's almost like a history thing, you know, it's looking towards the, you know, into like the little granular corners of history and finding
like Bernie,
interesting stories.
Or like the Bernie short from Wall-E.
Yeah, exactly. I like that. And that kind of runs parallel to another movie. Again, because you're forced to introduce new characters, and you're hopefully not going to have a scene where one of your new characters bumps into, you know, Logan Lerman as Luke Skywalker in a cameo or some
man.
Jump like that.
Poor Logan Lerman, man.
Yeah, poor guy. I mean, I'm sure he's a dynamite guy. But I like that idea. I think you could take a similar approach to the Boba Fett thing. Even Yoda, I think that there's probably a lot more interesting stuff you can do there because you can go so far into the history. So I
but
none of those are recasting Han Solo.
No, but even that stuff, Sark, like, it just kind of feels like you're over-harvesting. You know what I mean? It's like...
It does, yeah.
And it's like, if you know who didn't think that was a good idea to make a full-length movie on? George Lucas. Back when he made the first three Star Wars movies, he had a scene with those characters, and there were foundational ideas that supported the bigger picture of the story he was trying to tell, right? So it just kind of, you know, it just feels kind of icky in a way, and you know, it reminds me of like Terminator, for instance. You know what was so great about the Machine Wars and Skynet and the future and everything that was referenced in the first two movies? The best part about all of that is we didn't see any of it, hardly at all. And it was just in the distance, either in, you know, in the future, in the past, whatever. He let his characters talk about it, and he didn't have to show it. But these folks who make, you know, Terminator Salvation and now Terminator Genesis, they want to show it to us. And they, you know, they think it's worth it. And it's like, well, no, James Cameron, the auteur, the guy who created this, he knew that it worked better off screen, you know? And maybe this is true with these Star Wars movies too. I hope we don't arrive at that. And what I'm grateful for is that the folks at Disney and Lucasfilm, they are smart people, obviously, and Kathleen Kennedy is smart enough to get guys like Gareth Edwards and folks like Miller and Lord and other very talented people on board to tell these stories. That's the least they can do, honestly, because right now, just based on the premises, it's not exciting. If they didn't have those people involved, and it just wasn't, if it just didn't have the brand Star Wars, and obviously none of this would exist without that, then I just can't tell you that I would be that excited.
Yeah, I mean, I think the silver lining here is that for the first time in a long time, everybody is so excited about The Force Awakens and so encouraged by it that I believe that positivity is bleeding into the rest of Star Wars. I think that's kind of blinding people to exactly what's happening here, that this is yet another case of a studio wringing, you know, all the life out of an idea, out of a successful franchise. But again, that went real negative real fast. But what I meant to say there is that the good news is that Force Awakens looks awesome. Everything about it looks awesome. It looks like an exciting movie, and no matter what we get after it, you know, the next few months leading up to Christmas is going to be a lot of fun anticipating this Star Wars movie, you know, with hope and with a positivity that we haven't seen in a long time. So, you know, if a little bit of that bleeds over into these other projects, I think that, you know, as soon as the luster wears off a little bit, people are going to have a bit of a hangover and see that, oh God, what are we celebrating here, really? Even if that's going to happen right now, it's a great time to look forward to a new Star Wars movie, and there's a great reason to look forward to it, because so far everything about it looks great, and they're not, you know, dumping all this other stuff on us just yet.
Yeah, and I've got faith that these will be great. I really do. My gut instinct is that most of these Star Wars movies, plural, which is crazy to think of, are going to be good because of the directors and the writers that they've hired. But, you know, like you said, like, part of me is also, you know, and I'm not thinking as the capitalist who works for Disney Corporation, part of me just thinks, like, hold your horses, you know what I mean? Like, concentrate all of your efforts on Force Awakens, and then, you know, let's move forward beyond that. But, I mean, that's just, you know, that's not the landscape that we're living in now. You know, like, we have to have these standalone side projects and TV shows and comics and action figures and all these different things that are part of the continuity or just part of the extended universe. It's just something we've got to live with now. So, you know, and in also in this age of reboots and prequels and sequels, we have to come to terms with the fact that it just is what it is. If we're going to do it, let's do it right. Let's get the right people involved. And I think that's what they're doing. But the Han Solo thing, it's just troubling.
Yeah, there's so many things that you could do. Why? Like, what good can come of this? Nothing. Nothing good can happen here.
Well, I'm gonna give it the benefit of the doubt and not say nothing good can come of it. But when the first thing you got to do is cast Han Solo, that's when those feelings start to creep in. And unfortunately, that's immediately.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people talked about the Hobbit trilogy this way, is that it's kind of unnecessary. And I don't agree with that. I can see that point, though. But I think even if you believe that, you have to step back and say, okay, fine. Even if you think this movie is unnecessary, and, you know, if nobody's asking for it, and if you think that they're, you know, making up stories just to have stories, even if that's the argument, it's not my argument. You still have to look at the movie, and you have to look at The Desolation of Smaug and say, is that a good movie? And in my opinion, that's a really good movie. So at the end of the day, I agree with you that, look, if I think that Phil Lord and Chris Miller, they haven't made a bad movie yet. I don't think they're going to make a bad movie. I don't think that Lucasfilm is intending to make a bad movie. I think these are all going to be probably good to great movies. But
they're just going to have to do it with Asa Butterfield as Han Solo.
Right, yeah. They're recasting Han Solo. Like,
well, the difference here between The Hobbit and this is The Hobbit was a book that is a book that existed, right? And there were plenty of people clamoring for a Hobbit movie. I mean, I think that anybody who was negative and was saying the Hobbit movies were unnecessary, they were disappointed with the first movie and they changed their opinion on it, right? But
Right. Everybody
wanted to see The Hobbit, especially after Lord of the Rings, man. Like, of course you want to see the Peter Jackson The Hobbit movie. There is no, like, there is no Han Solo backstory that exists, you know, that we know of. So we're starting from scratch here, and that's the scary part. It really is. And as a big fan, you just want to let things be. And like you said, it really isn't necessary because we have three Han Solo movies. Now, perhaps three more with this, you know, we know at least one because he's in the trailer for Force Awakens, and perhaps for an entire new trilogy. So I think we're getting our Han Solo fix, you know? And I just, like you said, explore different characters. Leave Han alone. It's not worth it. It's not worth desecrating.
They're recasting Han Solo. All right.
For more from the Film Nerds, go to filmnerds.com and aspectradioshow.com.